Good afternoon. I'm convening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. It is June 28th, and my co-chair, Senator Devlin, has an announcement for us.
In the House's absence, we did announce that it was due to no disrespect that the House was not here. We said it was, though, to profound respect that the Senate was here.
Senator Devlin, Mr. Co-Chair, that doesn't help a bit. We will very likely be holding over Senate Bill 106. Is that correct, Mr. Rongo? And at the beginning of this meeting, I want to start with an apology. We worked very hard to get a translator for hearing impaired persons, and we were unable to locate one for this time and location. So, apologies. I'm opening a work session on a number of bills. House Bill 5012, Housing and Community Services Department, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5012 is the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Department. Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends a budget of $1,115,946,590 total funds and 156 positions. The recommended budget supports agency oversight responsibilities associated with $40 million in Article 11Q bonds approved in 2015. One position was approved to support more effective, data-driven investments of scarce housing development resources. The budget transfers administration of the Elderly Rental Assistance Program from the Department of Revenue. Expenditure limitation is provided to accommodate federal grant funds, timely financial transaction processing, and increased volume in the single-family home loan program. Homeownership Stabilization Initiative Program, funded with federal dollars, is continued with the limited duration staffing. Support for the Emergency Housing and State Homeless Assistance Programs is maintained at current service level, and an additional $8 million for EHA and $2 million for SHAP is included on the one-time basis. Other general fund-supported housing stabilization programs and court-appointed special advocates are reduced by 6% from the current service level. General fund is not included for the Oregon Foreclosure Avoidance Program and Oregon Volunteers. The recommended budget defers decisions regarding approval of lottery bonds and additional Article 11Q to the Capital Construction Subcommittee. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends HB 5012 be amended by the Dash 2 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. I heard a mention about the 6% reduction for CASA, and to point out that that is because we are moving it from one location to a different location, not the program is being cut.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Yes.
Senator. Thank you, Madam Chair. In abundance of caution, I need you to disclose a potential conflict of interest. This has a veterans component in it. Several years ago, I helped the Veterans Association in Medford buy two houses, and I'm still the lender on one of them.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Oh, sorry. I saw that before my gavel went down. I was in. Couldn't stop it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Opposition.
Thank you. We're going to be fast today, though. House Bill 5013, Judicial Department. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. House Bill 5013 is the budget bill for the Judicial Department. The Judicial Department operates the state's unified court system, including circuit courts, the tax courts, the Court of Appeals, and the Supreme Court. The department is also responsible for the collection of court-ordered financial judgments. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved a total budget of $503.8 million, including $450.7 million of general fund and 1,877 positions. The approved budget funds support for court and central support operations at approximately 4.4% below the current service level to help balance the statewide general fund budget. OJD is granted maximum flexibility to manage operations to minimize the impacts of the funding level. The approved budget also adds support to maintain personnel needed to allow the court to fully utilize the expanded capabilities provided by the e-court case management system and to support specialty and treatment court programs. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5013 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. House Bill 5025, Oregon Business Development Department, Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I'll make a correction in the printed statement, which references House Bill 5033, but I believe this actually is 5025. House Bill 5025 is the budget bill for the Oregon Business Development Department. The department administers programs that aid businesses and community development. This budget also includes the Art Commission and funding for the Oregon Film and Video Office. The adopted budget totals $641.4 million and authorizes 136 positions, which is 134.5 FTE. Of this total, $165.6 million is supported by general fund or lottery funds. The bill includes $5.1 million in general fund and lottery fund reductions from current service level to help balance the state budget and redirect funding to effective and promising programs. Funding for the Oregon Manufacturing Innovation Center, Small Business Development Centers, Oregon RAIN, and a new Rural Opportunities Initiative program are enhanced by $4.8 million. The budget also added funds to support continued operation of the new Solar Incentivization Program and the duties of the Certification Office of Business Inclusion and Diversity. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5025 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion, Representative Smith and then Senator.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I do have a potential conflict of interest. I do economic and business and community development in Eastern Oregon. And many of my clients utilize the good programs that come through Business Oregon. With that said, Madam Co-Chair, I just want to extend a voice of appreciation to Director Harder within the department. This is an agency that it seems like there's a new director coming in and out all the time. Director Harder has taken the time to come out to Eastern Oregon to meet with our communities, to meet with our ports, to meet with business owners. And it's obvious to me that he has a sincere desire to help rural Oregon. In addition to that, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a lady who works out there for Business Oregon by the name of Melissa Drugi. She helps with business development. She's a plus. Also, many of their programs are operated in a great way. And so I want to extend my appreciation to the governor and Director Harder for all the good work they do in Eastern Oregon. It is noticed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I would just like the record to reflect that I serve on the Oregon Business Development Department Commission.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Representative McLean, Representative Stark. Senators Girard and Thompson. Ms. Jirocco, you have that? Motion passes. House Bill 5033, Public Defense Services Commission, Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. House Bill 5033 is the budget bill for the Public Defense Services Commission. The commission is the judicial branch agency responsible for establishing and maintaining the public defense system in Oregon. The commission provides constitutionally and statutorily mandated representation in court to individuals eligible for these services because of financial inability to pay. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved a total budget of $303.9 million, including $298.9 million general fund and $5 million other funds. The budget includes authorization for 77 positions. The approved budget includes approximately $629,000 in general fund reductions from the current service level in the agency's operations and appellate division. Agency staff levels are preserved, however, and PDSC is expected to manage the reductions without impact to services. The budget for the payment to contractors who provide public defense at the trial level is reduced by approximately $1.1 million from the original current service level. There are two offsetting adjustments to this payment level. The budget includes a general fund reduction to help balance the statewide general fund budget. Funding is first trued up to current caseload levels to avoid disproportionate reductions to this program. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5033 be amended by the Dash 2 amendment and be reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a brief comment. I think that in light of the way that we are dealing with mental illnesses and stuff in terms of treating them through the judicial process, I think that we are kind of going backwards when we kind of defund the public defender's office. I think we need to take a strong look at this and make sure that we are funding this this program adequately, because we can't continue on putting people in jeopardy or, you know, locking people up, especially when it comes to mental illnesses, and expect for the courts and the judicial system to be the remedy for these issues. So we need to beef this project up and get more public defenders out there.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 5042, Oregon Youth Authority, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5042 is the budget bill for the Oregon Youth Authority. The Youth Authority protects the public and reduces crime by holding youth offenders accountable and providing opportunities for reformation in safe environments. The agency serves youth ages 12 through 24 who have committed serious delinquent or criminal conduct prior to their 18th birthday. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved an all funds budget of $358.8 million with 1,023 positions and 950.68 FTE. This budget represents a 9.9% reduction from the 2015-17 legislative approved budget, but includes several changes that support continued implementation of the legislative approved youth reformation system, an evidence-based means of improving outcomes for youth in OIA's custody. The $310.4 million general fund budget adds six positions to reduce the use of isolation as a sanction, adds $1.8 million of ongoing funding for the Young Women's Transitional Project in Albany, and creates five positions to expand vocational education and training for older youth. This budget also addresses declining referrals to the Oregon Youth Authority. It closes 50-bed North Coast Youth Correctional Facility, saving $8.1 million general fund. It reduces funding for community treatment beds by a total of $29.7 million, of which $15.9 million is general fund, and eliminates 15 vacant positions, reducing other funds expenditure limitation by $2 million. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5042 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out as due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to note for the record, my brother works for the Oregon Youth Authority.
Thank you. Further discussion? Objections?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just can't let this go without commenting on the closure of the Warrenton facility. We talk a lot about impact in rural Oregon. Those are 50 good family wage jobs that will disappear when Warrenton closes. And I'm hopeful that some public purpose can be found for the building so that it doesn't just stay on the state's rolls and corrode away. That's a significant job loss in a small community, and I understand the constraints of this budget, but I couldn't let this move without that comment.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Billy, come back.
Oh. Objections?
I told her she should stay there.
No objections. Motion passes. House Bill 2131, relating to safe transport of hazardous materials, Representative Smith Warner. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 2131 addresses the safe transport of hazardous materials by rail. It includes rail with other transporters of oil who submit environmental contingency plans to the Department of Environmental Quality, expands the responsibility of the Office of the State Fire Marshal for conducting hazardous materials spill training and exercises, and requires rail carriers to demonstrate proof of financial responsibility to pay for cleaning up worst-case spills. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved amendments that clarify language, add confidentiality requirements for information that is provided to DEQ, appropriate $318,044 to the Oregon State Police / Office of the State Fire Marshal for training, and add $600,000 of other funds expenditures to limitation to DEQ for the planning requirements in the measure. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2131 be amended by the -A12 amendment and be reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to get a couple of things on the record that I spoke about in the subcommittee. One is that you will notice that the pony says it is for transport of hazardous materials, not just Bakken crude oil. So it's more expanded than what a lot of people like to refer to, especially in the emails that we've been receiving. The other point is I'm challenged by the funding mechanism that we're using on a one-time sweeping of rail funds to pay for it. I'm supporting the bill, but I want to be clear that I am very hopeful that this is a one-time funding way of doing this.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Yes. Senator Winters and then Johnson?
Yes, just to add, there was considerable conversation specifically on the issue of the one-time funding and to assure that indeed that this is one-time and that we will not go and sweep dedicated funds for this purpose in the future. Just needed to add that.
Thank you, Senator Johnson.
Mine follows on this same line, whether or not there are any constraints about taking this money. I know that in the past when we have done sweeps, for example, the Cultural Trust several biennia ago, that there were questions about whether or not donative intent was violated. And I don't know whether it was discussed in committee if there are any legal impediments to essentially violating a trust fund.
I'm happy to talk about that as well as get any counsel back up. We did indeed check. First of all, ODOT, we had conversations with ODOT about this, and this is an ongoing source of funding that they believed could be that the other requirements of that fund could still be covered with this one, including this one-time sweep. Also, that Ledge Council has told me, we both put in an additional legislative reference connecting the hazardous transport statutes with ODOT, DEQ, and Fire Marshal, as well as Ledge Council has told me that it is within the purview of the legislature to do such a fund shift.
Additional discussion, Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson, and I'm going to show that I'm still a rookie on this committee, but can someone verify for me that the -12s are just the -A10 and the -A11 combined? Given that we, because what we passed out of committee was the
-10s and 11.
10s and 11. And we just moved the -12s.
I can tell you my understanding, and then maybe council could.
Let's just ask Mr. Rocco for a response, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Stark, whenever a sub passes out multiple amendments for full committee, we have to combine them into a new single amendment. So,
with no other alterations, though.
Correct. That's correct.
Thank you.
Additional discussion? Objections?
Senator Girard?
Motion passes. House Bill 2156, relating to a method of communication for businesses to contact the Department of Revenue regarding Oregon tax laws. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair. House Bill 2156 establishes a program to provide representatives of C&S corporations with a direct telephone number and email box to communicate and resolve issues regarding Oregon excise and income tax matters at the Department of Revenue. This bill and its companion, House Bill 2157, are the result of recommendations made by a small business work group, including our colleague Representative Smith. And I should clarify, Madam Co-Chair, that it was not indeed a work group, but rather the House Interim Committee on Small Business Growth, which Representative Smith and I were privileged to co-chair. This direct line of communication to train staff at the Department of Revenue will improve customer service for businesses and hopefully streamline solutions to tax matters, which may improve collections. This is a good small business bill, Madam Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2156 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I want to extend a huge voice of gratitude to our co-chair for allowing House Bill 2156 and House Bill 2157 to move forward. A week or two ago, I was kind of pouting, thinking that in the midst of all this hard work, it wasn't going to get done. And Madam Co-Chair, I greatly, greatly appreciate your leadership on this. Thank you very much. I want to publicly state that.
That's very kind. Thank you. Yes, Senator Thompson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yeah, I appreciate the toll-free phone number also, but will it be in statute, too, that says they have to actually answer the phone? I didn't see where that was.
Additional discussion? Yes, Senator Roblin.
I have it on good authority if they need an answering machine. That's Senator Thompson's.
Yeah, I got all the
Or they will answer it after we get through the 14 different levels of the phone tree.
Additional discussion relevant to the objections. Motion passes. House Bill 2157 relating to a method of communication for certified public accountants to contact the Department of Revenue regarding Oregon tax laws. Representative Smith.
Again, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 2157 requires the Department of Revenue to establish a program to give tax practitioners direct access to assistance from the Department of Revenue on personal income tax questions. This program mirrors a similar program at the Internal Revenue Service, which recognizes the important role practitioners play in our tax system. Under this program, tax practitioners will be able to work directly by telephone or email with dedicated, trained Department of Revenue staff to get issues resolved more quickly and efficiently. Colleagues, your General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2157 as it's been amended out due pass. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and again, appreciate you.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 2259A, relating to enrollment in the Central Background Registry. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable colleagues, House Bill 2259 comes from your Education Subcommittee, provides changes to Oregon law to comply with the recent reauthorization of the Federal Child Care Development Block Grant, and deals with background checks and related issues of child care providers. Specifically, the bill authorizes the Early Learning Division of the Oregon Department of Education to maintain information in a central background registry. Background checks must be completed, including reviewing information from child abuse and neglect records, adult protection services, and other databases. Enrollment in the registry is prohibited for applicants with disqualifying conditions resulting from the background checks. Operators and employees of early learning programs must enroll in the registry. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2259 be reported out. Due pass.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 2260A relating to child care information maintained by the Office of Child Care. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2260 is a child care bill which allows the Early Learning Division of the Oregon Department of Education to remain compliant with the recent reauthorization of the Federal Child Care and Development Block Grant. The bill authorizes the Office of Child Care to maintain a website to provide information on child care facilities and providers. It also authorizes the office to receive and investigate complaints relating to certified or registered child care facilities. The office may share information on investigation and inspections if that information supports the health or safety of child in a child care facility. The fiscal impact of this bill is minimal. The subcommittee approved an amendment adding an emergency clause since some of the federal requirements take effect prior to the original effective date of the bill. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2260 as amended by the Dash A3 amendment and be reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 2356A relating to debt collection practices. Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2356 establishes a new program requiring certain debt buyers to hold a license from the Department of Consumer and Business Services. It also adds new categories of unlawful collection practices and expands the director's rulemaking authority to define dishonest, illegal, or unethical practices. DCBS estimates that there would be approximately 75 entities operating in Oregon that would require licensure and be subject to the regulations under the bill. The agency proposes the establishment of a single additional financial examiner position to be responsible for the licensing, complaint investigations, and conducting examinations. This position would be funded by license fees addressed by on debt buyers. This position would be funded by license fees assessed on debt buyers. This bill is the result of several years of work by the Department of Justice, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and industry and consumer protection groups. There is no regulation of these entities in Oregon at this time, and this bill will provide additional protections for consumers against unscrupulous debt collectors. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2356 be amended by the Dash 8 amendments and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senator, does DCBS anticipate 75 new entities every year?
I don't know.
Committee Representative Wisnett, this is not a regulated group at this time, and so this would be 75 entities coming in to be regulated, and so they would grow and shrink as the universe.
Don't you?
Yes.
I calculate that for the cost of the FTE to be $2,500 per work on that one entity. Pretty expensive. I'm not sure that this justifies it. If it's just starting up, why couldn't it be a limited duration position until it's done, and then a half position? That just seems that small a number that you're dealing with, and we're going to make it a permanent FTE. The discussion talk about it being limited till you get the initial 75 done, and how many you're going to be working a year. It just doesn't pencil out to me of our business.
Additional discussion. Representative
Holby. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to acknowledge that there's been an extreme amount of work and conversation about this bill, and thank the Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum for continuing the discussion on this issue. It's gone on for more than 6 years that we've been trying to figure out how to deal with debt buyers in this state previously. Currently actually unlicensed in the state of Oregon, and they have created a lot of problems for consumers and no ability for the state to address those concerns, as well as causing a lot of problems with claims in our court system. So I just wanted to thank all those that participated, as the Senator Hansel had mentioned, Cheryl Hemstra from the Department of Justice, and Rick Blackwell from DCBS, and the largest debt buyer company in the nation, Encore, that Dan Bates represented, Matt Marquis from the debt collectors, the Oregon State Bar, the state courts, and Sybil Hibb from the Oregon Law Center, all at the table working at this issue for over 6 years. I think it's a good piece of legislation, and urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Representative Wisnett, Senator Girard, Mr. Rocco, you got it. Motion passes. House Bill 2605, relating to the establishment of circuit court judge positions. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. House Bill 2605 establishes two new circuit court judge positions, one in Washington County and one in Josephine County. The Chief Justice has identified both Washington and Josephine counties as having the highest need for additional judges and associated support staff based on court workloads and the availability of sufficient courthouse space to accommodate the new positions. The new judicial positions become effective January 2019. Staff support positions for the new judges are also established beginning in November 2018. The bill appropriates $617,468 general fund dollars to the Judicial Department and establishes eight positions, 2.48 FTE, for the 2017-19 biennium costs associated with establishing the new judgeships. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2605 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Senator Steyer-Hayward.
Thank you. Just quickly, I really want to thank the co-chairs of the Public Safety Subcommittee. This is a huge issue for my district, five-sixths of which is in Washington County. And I hear from constituents on a regular basis, both individuals and businesses, about the challenges posed by the lack of judges in our court system. So I want to thank the chairs very much for their diligence in getting these positions passed. I want to thank the Chief Justice for identifying the needs that we face in our area.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 2720A, relating to study of virtual public charter schools. Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 2720 requires the Department of Education to conduct a study of virtual public charter schools operating in the state. Subjects to be covered by the study include financial resources available to virtual public charter schools, the types and regularity of reviews of virtual public charter schools, and detailed demographic and academic information about students at these schools. The study results may be used to assist the department in determining what types of data it should be collecting from virtual public charter schools and how to best collect the data. The department will report back to the legislature with the study results by September 15, 2018. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2720 be amended by the Dash A6 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Steyer-Hayward.
Thank you. I really don't mean to be difficult, but are we saying with this bill that the Department of Education doesn't collect any data at this point on virtual charter schools? That we don't know anything about what's happening in them? Is that why we need this bill?
Sure, Senator. I do not believe that is the case. I believe that the issue is the kind of data and what is done with it in the requirement. This is the result of a work group I know that between Representative McLean and some other folks. I cannot speak a lot further to it than that.
Okay.
Do we have Senator Roblin?
I would say that in general, these are regular public schools, so the information collected on all regular public schools, graduation rates, free and reduced lunch, all of those things are to be collected. This bill is really to find out, are there other things that presented because of a virtual charter schools, the large charter schools, that would be important to have over the long haul? We also recognize that almost all of these charter schools are either in a school district supported by a local school district that keeps data and gets that data from them, or authorized by the state, which is a few of them. And so there is regular information being collected. The question here is it the right information? Is it the information that gives us the best knowledge about whether these programs are working or not? And the attempt was to try to find out what are those kinds of things that are necessary that we should be collecting on a regular basis, as I understand it.
Thank you, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What's the fiscal on this?
Nothing.
It was
$80,000.
Madam Chair, I'm going to be a no. We're having to make hard decisions this session, and I'm seeing lots of rural programs being cut, and I see this as something that can wait.
Thank you. Other discussion? Senator Johnson.
I wish to be associated with the remarks of Representative Huffman.
Yes, Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ditto.
Senator Steyer-Hayward.
I'm going to be a yes in committee, but I'm going to reserve the right to change my vote on the floor until I understand this bill a little bit better.
renters.
You know, I'm dead on. I also think, you know, we're all sitting here trying to figure out what's broken and what's to be fixed.
Other discussion? Are we ready for a vote? Mr. Rocco, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Nope.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator Steyer-Hayward?
Yes, for the moment.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Yep.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
No.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Yes. Did you have no phone?
I didn't
count.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative Huffman?
No.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
I'm an aye. Aye.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Come back here.
We need to re-poll the Senate side briefly. Senator?
I'll just make a statement. I've been encouraged for process purposes to change my vote for today to yes.
No, the motion carries.
Mr. Rocco says motion carries. I'm going to change the order of the agenda. We are at anything that we don't complete by about 1 o'clock, we will reconvene. We're going to have a recess and come back, reconvene at 5 p.m. But I want to move ahead to take care of a couple of bills that I know there are people here waiting to see. We are skipping to House Bill 3412. Relating to assessments for children with difficulties hearing, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 3412 creates the Task Force on Assessments of Children Who Are Deaf or Hard of Hearing, which is charged with examining and making recommendations for a framework for assessing deaf and hard of hearing children to determine children's competencies in language and literacy skills to ensure successful access to the kindergarten curriculum in an equitable manner. The task force must present its findings and recommendations to the legislature by January 1st, 2018. The Department of Education will use existing staff and resources to provide staffing support to the task force, including providing data and analysis, preparing the report to the legislature, and hiring American Sign Language interpreters for task force meetings. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3412 be amended by the -3 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Thank you. The next bill will be Senate Bill 187 relating to vision screenings. Representative Wisnett.
That's going to be the other bill. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, honorable colleagues. I'm proud to bring you Senate Bill 187, which establishes the vision health account and directs the Department of Education to make reimbursements from the account to eligible providers for any costs associated with visual screening of students. The bill appropriates $1 million general fund for the 2017-2019 biennium for the purpose of administrating visual screening reimbursements. ODE may retain up to 10% of this amount for administrative expenses incurred as a result of issuing reimbursements to providers. Payments from the account shall not exceed funds available, and individual student reimbursements are capped at $3.20 per student per year. ODE may solicit and accept gifts, grants, and donations for deposit into the account. The administration of the provider reimbursements is anticipated to require one limited duration accounting technician position for the estimated cost of $81,695 other funds in the 2017-2019 biennium. Based on this estimate, $918,341 other funds will be available for the provider reimbursements for visual screening in 2017 through 2019. Honorable committee members, visual screening has been something I've worked on along many sessions. It's very important. The advocates for the bill worked with me, and we amended the bill to be sure 13 or 15, we passed House Bill 3000, which addresses the initial screening of students entering the Oregon education system. And this money in this bill then provides some resources to help do follow-up and continue to check visual screening, because children's vision can change every year. And this bill and the finances with it helps us. The children are not healthy. They cannot see. They're not going to succeed in school. So a very important bill. The Education Subcommittee recommends this committee bill be amended by the Dash 5 amendment and be reported out. Due passes amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion? Yes, Senator Hansel.
I speak out in strong support of this bill, and also it's very important for my part of the state, and especially want to give a shout out to the Lions Club, who provide a huge amount of services to our young people through this particular program, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Johnson.
I am very supportive of the bill, but I am offended that the agency is going to peel off 10% administrative costs. That is obscene, and I wonder how many more kids could be seen for that $100,000. And I wonder, with all the money sloshing around in that agency, why they couldn't have absorbed this cost.
Amen.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senator Johnson, I couldn't agree more with you. I want to just share a brief testimony with everyone. Over the last couple of weeks, Leader McLean has been sitting down with Speaker Kotek and just having conversations as it relates to certain items. And this was an item that came up, and it was so nice to see the bipartisanship that occurred on this issue, and to see Speaker Kotek just go beyond the call of duty in trying to figure out how to work with the co-chairs to make this occur. And so a shout out to her and a shout out to Mike McLean as they had this conversation.
Great, thank you. Additional discussion, Senator Devlin. And
the language, I believe, in the bill, being the chief sponsor of the bill, is that they may use up to 10%. I would encourage them to utilize considerably less than 10%.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you haven't seen the new equipment that the Lions Club has done that tests so quickly, it's amazing, and they come into the schools, and they can get through a whole classroom in a very short period of time, which is a really positive thing. It mm-hmm. used to take a lot longer to do this with eye charts, and we've always tried to do this kind of testing. What the accuracy of these new machines and the time taken is really a benefit to all of our schools. And it's just a shout out to a really great program.
Thank you. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This is a bill that I have been privileged to do testimony and for a couple of times. I want to just give a shout out and thank you to the carrier for a job well done. I don't believe that we should have anybody that will vote against this bill.
Good. Additional discussion? Senator Winters.
Just to pile on, I think we all agree that the Lions Club and the work that they do is very incredible and much, much needed. And I, too, want to thank Representative Wisner. But I also want to add to the good senator, for our agency, who has so much to draw from, to take away from such a laudable service is actually above the pale. And I hope they hear us on this, and not just less than 10%, but I'm sure that they can absorb within their huge budget the cost of doing this particular program.
It is 1 o'clock. We need to conclude as quickly as we can because subcommittees are starting to meet right now.
We haven't voted.
Senator Monroe, I know. I'm saying that because people are continuing to put up their hands.
Yeah.
Senator
Monroe.
Our education
subcommittee that heard this measure learned about the new technology, the new machines that can scan so many students in a very short period of time. Those machines are expensive. That's one of the reasons why the Lions Club cannot bear the total cost of all those new machines. They are going to continue to do the work, but we're just going to help pay for this new technology that enables them to be so much more efficient and make sure that all students have this screen.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections?
Motion passes. Before we recess, I will mention that we still have a few bills and two grant application requests to consider. So for right now, we are simply recessing. We reconvene at 5 o'clock.
5, not 4:30.
5 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm reconvening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means on June 28th.
Good afternoon.
Part 2, Act 2, Part 2.
There's more bills than ever.
I am continuing the work session. We will start with House Bill 2998A relating to transfer of credits to public post-secondary institutions of education. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable colleagues, I lost my notes. I had a long speech I had to do this. House Bill 2998 requires community colleges and public universities to establish foundational curricula and statewide transfer agreements so community college students may smoothly transfer academic credits to a public university. The Higher Education Coordinating Commission is required to convene meetings with community colleges and public universities to establish at least one foundation curriculum for use at the beginning of the 18-19 school year. The commission must provide a report on the status of the foundation curricula to the Legislative Assembly no later than February the 1st, 2018. Further meetings must be convened by the commission to facilitate the establishment of one unified statewide transfer agreement by 2018, two agreements in 2019, and three agreements per year by 2020 and beyond. It must also report annually to the Legislative Assembly regarding the status of these agreements. The subcommittee recommends the adoption of the amendment that appropriates $220,490 general fund for two part-time positions to convene the meetings, conduct data analysis, and write the legislatively required reports. Committee members, this is a bill that we've been waiting for years in this assembly. We have studied about transferability of credits. This bill says just do it.
Okay. There you go.
I urge the committee to amend to pass the bill with the -5 amendment and report out as due pass.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
I just can't let this pass without piling on. We have sat in the same room. I don't know how many of us have been here over and over and over and over again, and we've studied this, and we've asked, and we've cajoled, and we've begged, and I sure as hell hope this time they actually do something. This is an outrage that we can't transfer credits, and it's a bigger outrage that we have passed previous legislation, and it has been ignored. Other than that, I have no strong opinion.
Tell us how you really feel.
Thank you. Any additional discussion?
Yes.
We're here.
Right here.
The Senator Gerard.
Oh, thank you. Oh, this is too much fun, too. HEC is the Higher Ed Coordinating Commission. It was established to do what this bill says that we're going to do. So, yeah, this is just something else.
Well, they're getting the message. Any other discussion? Objections?
Oh, what the heck.
Senator DeBoer. Thank you. Motion passes. House Bill 3061A relating to anonymous text message internet websites. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3061 creates the 9-member task force on anonymous text message services, which is charged with studying changes needed in Oregon law to regulate and prohibit the use of internet websites to send anonymous, abusive, and harassing text messages. The task force is required to report its findings and recommendations to the legislature by September 15, 2019. The measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact on the Department of Justice for staffing the task force and for other agencies affected by the task force. Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3061 be reported out due pass.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Johnson.
I say this shamefully to all of you, that I used to not think that this was much of an issue until a young lady in this building has had for the last almost 2 years her life turned upside down by this kind of anonymous text messaging. Hundreds at night, pictures of her house, I accompanied her to law enforcement and begged them to help her. And the answer was, too complicated, too hard, we don't have the technology, we'll put this in the pending file. No relief for this young lady. She would come to work in the morning shaking so hard, in tears, couldn't work. We applaud ourselves for trying to curtail some of this. This, I think, is one of the most important bills of the session, if for no other reason than it will give relief to somebody whose family has been tormented by anonymous internet.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 3279A, relating to the regulation of property services contractors, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 3279 expands the definition of labor contractor to include property services contractors. Property services contractors provide janitorial services labor to others. Your Bureau of Labor and Industries will license and collect data from these contractors, as well as provide or approve specified training. Current law allows BOLI to assess fees on labor contractors to cover the costs associated with licensing and compliance. This statutory fee authorization covers property service contractors as defined by this bill. Fees assessed on property services contractors should cover the cost of hiring an additional 1.5 FTE for licensing and compliance activities. The bill also requires BOLI to provide or approve certain training for managers and employees of property services contractors. BOLI may need to return to the legislature for additional expenditure limitations after reviewing available trainings and determining the fee structure. Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends 3279 be amended by the Sixth Amendment and reported out due pass as amended. And ladies and gentlemen, I wondered if this was a really serious problem in Oregon, and after doing some research, determined that it is. Janitorial and security industries employ a lot of women who clean and secure office buildings alone at night in isolated areas. These working conditions make them targets to predatory behavior by the same people who supervise them. We need to help protect these vulnerable employees.
Senator Gerard.
I'm going to be a no on this, and the reason I am is I have fought the battles for QRFs my whole legislative career, and this is an attempt to undermine the right of the QRF to exist. So I'm going to be a no. I understand the problem, but this is the last thing that I want to see, is that we take away the rights of the QRF and the disabled to exist.
Discussion, Senator.
I just have to join my colleague, Senator Gerard. You know, I too have worked with this population for years, and I too will be a no.
Senator.
I want to join those two too. I'll be a no for those same reasons.
We will be taking a vote in a moment. Is there other discussion? Senator Frederick.
I do understand the concern in terms of the QRFs. I understand that very well. But I also understand, because I've been getting folks from my district who are concerned, because unfortunately there are folks who are predatory. And we need to find some way to, in fact, help these folks, help these people so that they are not facing the kind of issues that they are that brought this bill forward. And so I do not feel that this is an attempt to attack the QRS. It is an attempt to try to keep people safe. That's how I view this. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I have to concur with my colleague here that, you know, I have seen these conditions at night where you have one person out working alone. Many times there are a lone female, and they are subject to all types of abuses. As a former police officer, I've investigated a number of cases like this. I think that this is a measure step close to adding a layer of protection for some of our most vulnerable people that's out there trying to make a decent living.
Thank you. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. In Judiciary Committee, this was heartbreaking to hear some of the testimony about what was going on in this. At the same time, it was tough because there was an amendment that we at least discussed for a little while that resolved some of the concerns that the QRFs have. Ultimately, we did not do those, and I've since then deliberated with myself on which way I would go on this, and I do think that at this point I would rather see it done where it protects the QRFs and will be a no.
Representative Smith Warren.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not that I need to announce my vote, because I know we're voting in a moment. But I wanted to say, so I agree that the QRF community is extremely important, and I believe that the work that's going to be done through this, I think that is a community, those disabled, that the disabled folks that are working through that, it's even more important for them to receive this training about how to report, about how to maintain their own safety. I believe that that's a really important part of this bill as well.
Thank you. Other discussion? Yes, Senator Hanson.
Madam Co-Chair, I was a no in committee, and I'll be a no now.
Other discussion? Objections. Mr. Rocco, why don't you call the roll?
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Drudge?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Nope.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
As a courtesy to the process, yes.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative Huffman?
No.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
No.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Motion passes. House Bill 3350A relating to outdoor recreation. Senator Frederick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3350 establishes the Office of Outdoor Recreation within the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. The bill directs the State Parks and Recreation Director to appoint an Associate Director to serve as the Executive Head of the Office of Outdoor Recreation. The cost to establish a position in the 2017-2019 biennium is $218,894 general fund. The bill charges the Office of Outdoor Recreation with a variety of responsibilities, including coordinating outdoor recreation policy, assisting in developing or updating the outdoor recreation management strategies of the department, coordinating with the Oregon Tourism Commission and Travel Information Council, serving as a clearinghouse and information center for outdoor recreation stakeholders, developing data independently or through contracts with appropriate public or private agencies on the social, economic, and resource impacts of outdoor recreation in this state, and promoting the health and social benefits of outdoor recreation in coordination with other related state programs and initiatives. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3350 be amended by the A2 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Senator Johnson.
Was there any discussion, question of the carrier, was there any discussion in committee about trying to round up, for lack of a better word, all of the other recreation activities in different state agencies and make a one-stop shopping? Let me give you an example. Horse camps are a part of forestry's portfolio. And it seems to me that if we're going to be serious about having a database, having information, promoting, that I never understood why horse camps was part of forestry's work anyway. But I would hope that maybe as this office comes into being, that there could be thoughtful discussion about switching some of the oversight of these activities and get them all in one place. It'll save costs. It'll help Oregonians understand the benefits enumerated in the bill. And I'm sure that forestry would say goodbye to horse camps in a heartbeat.
I'm not sure that I could say what forestry would say right away, but part of this whole effort is clearly as a clearinghouse, an information center, because we do not have that information in one space, in one spot, and we haven't had that kind of coordination at all We've had bits and pieces of it. This is an attempt to try to bring it together.
Additional discussion? Objections? Senator DeBoer.
No.
Motion passes.
Nancy?
Oh.
He was a no.
Oh, thank you. Senator Hansel as well. Mr. Rocco, Senator Hansel as well. Is a no.
And DeBoer.
And DeBoer. We did House Bill 3412 earlier. Senate Bill 106A, we anticipate will be on the next agenda. We did Senate Bill 187 at our earlier meeting. Next is Senate Bill 20A relating to federal education law. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 20 provides changes to Oregon law to conform with the recently passed Federal Every Student Succeeds Act. The ESSA replaces the federal No Child Left Behind Act, so there are numerous reference changes in this bill, recognizing the new federal law. Other conforming changes include making the modified diploma equivalent to a high school diploma and changes in policy relating to the federal requirement that a child in foster care remain in his or her school of origin unless it is the best interest of the child to stay in school. The fiscal impact of this bill deals with transportation costs for the children in foster care. The bill directs Department of Ed and the Department of Human Services to ensure the child has free transportation to school. The two agencies will enter into an agreement where DHS funds will be used to make up the difference in cost between the actual cost and the amount paid by the transportation grant under the school funding formula. The Education Sub recommends Senate Bill 20 be reported out and passed.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 231A relating to mental health issues in higher education. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 231 establishes the 11-member task force on student mental health support, which is charged with examining the impact of mental health issues and substance abuse disorders on college recruitment, retention, and graduation. The Higher Education Coordinating Commission and the Oregon Health Authority are required to provide staff support to the task force. The bill appropriates $134,000 general fund to HEC with the expectation that HEC and OHA will enter into an interagency agreement to cover the costs of collecting the data, conducting the research, and producing the report to the legislature recommending changes to the law, mental health practices, and school policies that will ensure adequate mental health support for students. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 231 be amended by the A-A5 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. As a college student back in the 1960s and 70s, we had a number of students and one friend who was a Vietnam veteran who had come back, sat at the table. We worked with him a lot. We found out eventually that he was the only survivor in a hill raid in Vietnam, had been sliced from his groin to his neck and held himself together. And when the helicopters came in, he was the only survivor. The doctors had recommended that he not drink or do anything because that would mess up his insides already. And as the pressure of school committed, every end of term he ended up in the hospital because he started drinking, which he was told not to do. We worked hard to try to help that person. We didn't have any mental health expertise in the amongst of our kids that were doing it. And I look back at that and say how bad it was that we sent people back from horrible situations without the skills to do it. We're doing the same thing today, and we need to make sure that the universities and others have abilities to do the kinds of things and give those people the support they need. So I encourage you to vote for this bill.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 419A relating to hospital charges. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 419 creates the Task Force on Healthcare Cost Review, which is charged with studying the feasibility of establishing a hospital rate-setting process in Oregon as modeled on the process used in Maryland. The task force will report its findings and recommendations to the legislature by September 15, 2018. The Legislative Policy and Research Office is required to provide staff support to the task force, and the legislative branch budget should contain funds for staff support, interim committees, and task forces. The fiscal impact to other agencies is minimal. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 419 be reported out, due pass. And I would add one thing, which is that the chief sponsor, Senator Beyer, and I are both hopeful that other models in addition to Maryland be included, because in the discussion that we don't think Maryland is the only model that should be under consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Discussion. Senator Duvall.
Yes, I have to vote the bill, and the only thing in the bill is the Maryland model, and that's a one-payer model, so I'll be a no.
Other discussion? Objections? Gerard Thompson? Let's do the roll.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Gerard?
No.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator Stein Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeVore?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin? Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Devlin. Richard.
Aye.
Representative Bisnett?
Aye. No. Excuse me.
Representative Huffman?
No.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gombrich?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
No.
Representative Holy?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Motion passes. Senate Bill 844A relating to inmate trust account money. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 844 authorized the Department of Corrections to collect certain amounts in an inmate's trust account to go towards paying off court-ordered financial obligations, such as victims' restitution and court fines and fees, and to establish a reentry savings account for each adult in custody. These two elements place an emphasis on accountability and transition, both of which are critical to DOC's mission. The bill directs the Department of Justice and the Oregon Judicial Department to provide DOC with an accounting of each inmate's court order financial obligations and to apply funds received from the department to those obligations. In order for these financial obligations to be repaid and the transition accounts to be set up, DOC's inmate trust accounting software system must be upgraded and enhanced. The amendment recommended by the subcommittee increases the agency's other funds expenditure limitation by $500,000 to pay for the software upgrade, and it contains a $275,000 general fund appropriation to pay for the required system enhancement. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 844 be amended by the Dash 2 amendments and be ported out to pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 867A relating to maritime sector workforce development. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 867 establishes a 17-member task force on maritime sector workforce development, which is charged with studying and developing a description of and scope and extent of the maritime sector. The task force must report to the State Workforce Investment Board and the legislature by September 15, 2018. The Association of Oregon Counties is directed to provide staff support for the task force, and members of the task force who are not members of the Legislative Assembly are not entitled to compensation or reimbursement for expenses. The task force sunsets on December 31, 2018. The bill has minimal physical impact in the 2017-19 biennium, and the Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 867 be reported out due pass. We have two community colleges on the coast that provide training, one at Clatsop Community College, the other a aquarium science program at in Newport. What we have found, Washington changed and put maritime as part of their deal. When they did that, it became the second largest group of in workforce in their state. We don't know what it is here because we don't understand all the people that are doing maritime, whether they're in the Navy or whatever. We do know the Clatsop people get hired as soon as they come out of the program, mostly to go to Louisiana and other places. We have people who live in our state who work in other states who are part of this industry. We would like to capture that and have a better understanding of what we could do to help people find great family wage jobs. Thank you.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 1041 relating to treatment funded by public monies. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1041 bill we've been waiting for, directs the Criminal Justice Commission to study, track, and account for all public monies appropriated for and expended on alcohol and drug treatment, and report on the results to the Legislative Assembly on or before September 15, 2019. As a part of the study, the commission is to examine the outcomes of each type of treatment and its effect on the criminal justice system. The measures includes $284,344 general fund dollars for a full-time limited duration policy analyst position to develop a system to track treatment funds and identify treatment outcomes. The position would continue for the first 3 months of the 2019-21 biennium until the report is finalized. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1041 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments and be reported out to pass as amended.
Senator Johnson.
Was there any discussion in committee once the task force findings were in place about enforcement of the ones that were ineffectual or fakers or absolutely?
Well, first, this is not a task force. This is actually this is the direction to CJC to actually identify, because the conversation is, one, as a body, we don't have any idea, nor do we know, how many dollars that we have, that we do have, that for alcohol and drug treatment. That's the first task. The second task is that they are also to identify the array or what exists in our universe here in Oregon, and some is out of state, the number of providers that are providing service on alcohol and drug treatment, and third, what are some of those outcomes so that we can begin to do best practice. At this point, that is their task.
Okay. Well, I would just hope sometime in the future that the ones that are deemed lacking in efficacy get shut down, get unfunded, get their money taken away, and that we have rigorous enough enforcement that we don't have some of this non-effective activities occurring with public money.
I would hope that with the report that they can provide us will give us that information that we would need to do that, Senator.
Cool.
That's the hope.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes.
I would also like to make it clear that Representative Holvey was excused for House business for the votes that were missed at the early part of this afternoon's session.
There are no witnesses to that.
Where were you doing
there? There was an excuse, right?
I couldn't see you down there. I didn't know you.
We have two federal grant application requests in front of us. Department of State Lands, Oregon Wetland Program Plan, Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. On June 21st, the Natural Resource Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Department of State Lands to EPA in the amount of $122,586 to support work identified in the Oregon Wetland Program Plan. The grant funding would support five individual initiatives identified in the updated Oregon Wetland Program Plan. If awarded, the funding would be used in conjunction with an intergovernment agreement with Oregon State University, the Institute for Natural Resources. The grant requires a 25% state match, which will be provided by an in-kind contribution of existing state lands budgeted expenditures. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Federal grant application request, Department of State Lands, wetland functional assessments, Senator Girard.
The last one, group. On June 21st, the Natural Resource Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Department of State Lands to EPA agency in the amount of $25,000 to supplement grant monies received by the agency in 2015 for work on an aquatic resources mitigation program in Oregon. The requested funding would allow state lands to contract with a third party to complete wetlands functional assessments on existing wetland mitigation bank sites prior to the implementation of the Aquatic Resources Mitigation Program initiation in 2018. Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Mr. Rocco, I expect we're going to be coming back to meet again soon.
Madam Chair, members, I believe we're planning to do another noon meeting tomorrow and recess again, and we can add items to that agenda as we get paperwork completed for all the bills that have passed out in the last day or and today. So that would be tomorrow's plan, and whether we need to come back or not depends on how many more bills we get.
We'll see you all again tomorrow. We're done for tonight.